due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
Oh! See? I just can't stand!
Yeet!
It's about time you did something, right?
Who in the hell do you think you are?
You ain't Godzilla or King Kong, because I'm both!
Hey, go fuck yourself. Get that guy out of here.
Acknowledge me!
Yeah!
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
Damn!
You are dealing with the best in the world! Go fuck yourself!
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to another episode of the North American Wrestling Connection. Before I introduce our panel, we must pause for a 10-bell salute to one of the extreme we've lost this week. Now then, so we'll start with the panel here. Jason Block, I know you're out there.
Yes, I am. We will talk about this because, put it to you this way, what a light to go. What a light to go.
Indeed. And also, in our way, our statistician, Statboy Josh Henniger. Hello.
Hello. Unfortunately, Sabu is no longer a death-defying madman.
For even he cannot defeat Father Time, but yeah. I think he accelerated that just a little bit.
A little bit?
Accelerated it. He was in fifth gear.
Yeah.
You know? So, for those who do not know, last Sunday, after the show, the news came out that Terry Brunk, a.k.a. Sabu, passed away at the age of 60 less than a month after his retirement match at GCW.
Against Joey Janela, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
I will refuse the joke that he died of embarrassment because I heard that wasn't a very good match.
No.
I mean, you've got to remember, Joey is not a great, great worker. He's a worker, but not great. And Sabu's best days are long behind him.
Right. So, but let's talk about the good before we talk about the rumors.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Sabu, for those who do not know, would have been canceled years ago if he was wrestling now in his prime.
Yes.
Yes.
Sabu was the, what was it? He was the homicidal, suicidal, genocidal. Sabu, okay.
Yeah, death-defying madman. Mm-hmm.
Right. He worked for and was trained by his uncle, the Sheik, who, by the way, ironically enough, the episode with Dark Side of the Moon, Dark Side of the Ring, came out 2 days later.
Crazy. About the Sheik?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So, he was with USWA as Sabu. He was in FMA in Japan.
You mean FMW, Frontier Martial Arts Wrestling?
Yes, FMW, yes.
Yeah.
And then he also had, some small appearances on WWF back in 93. In fact, recently there was a YouTube or match put up on YouTube with Sabu and Scott Taylor. You know, Scotty Too Hotty. That happened before Monday Night Raw back in 93.
That's correct. October 18th,
1993. Yes. And I need to see this match.
Yeah, and then he had one match on TV, and that would have been for Wrestling Challenge against Owen Hart in
93.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yes.
So he went to Eastern Championship Wrestling and then became, from October 1st, 1993.
Yep.
To March 28th, 1995.
Yeah. Like
the big thing, and this was a big deal, he accepted a booking in New Japan and no-showed a three-way dance for the World Tag Team Championship against Sabu and Tasmaniac. And Paul Heyman, basically, he ripped him a new asshole.
Yep.
And fired Sabu right on the spot. Okay?
That's what we should.
I remember also, I'm just wondering if the big tag, the Taz incident happened.
Now, are you talking about the one where Sabu didn't want to drop the belt to JT Smith?
No, I'm talking about the one where he originally had to fight Taz and was there for the first time in a year.
Ah.
The internet is your friend. Live research.
Yes, of course, as per usual.
Yeah, so, but even so, there was a cup of coffee when he was in WCW. He was in New Japan.
Then he also went to Big Japan in 96.
Mm-hmm.
And then he winds up back in ECW before 95 ends, actually.
Right. And then has his last 5 years in ECW and team with Rob Van Dam.
Yep.
And
that lasted until early 2000, where his last match in ECW was against Scott D'Amore.
Right. And then, of course, he went to TNA for a hot second.
Yes.
For 5 years.
Off and on. He was not a consistent presence because, after all, he was less than trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in WWE for a cup of coffee, too.
Yep. And I actually got to see him at WWE versus ECW head-to-head. Remember
that? Ah, yes. I was there, too. Yes, I was. I remember the show.
Mm-hmm.
He did a he was doing his usual top rope thing that he typically botched, but he put a dramatic pause in there that made the shot even better.
Yes, he did.
I've had the honor of meeting him a couple of times. In fact, I saw him fairly recently.
Mm-hmm.
At one of these WrestleFests out in Chillicothe. This was before his final match, but, mm-hmm. you know, he was still making the rounds and making a couple extra bucks, you know, pointing to the sky with other people and taking pictures and signing stuff. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, no, yeah. But
here's the interesting thing. Every extreme wrestler and every federation owes a debt of gratitude to Sabu.
Yes.
A huge debt of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the people, because when you saw a Sabu match for the first time in the 1990s, you were like, oh my God, who is this guy?
Yeah. I mean, same could have been said for other guys like, say, Jushin Thunder Liger, Ultimo Dragon, essentially the WCW Cruiserweights.
Yes. But this was also the birthplace of guys like Cactus Jack. Steve Austin cut his teeth there. New Jack,
he makes that never look like My Little Pony.
Yes. Pony. The fact that he would do crazy shit that, you would normally see in more of an underground fighting, underground pit fight kind of thing.
Yes.
Nothing that would actually have made it to TV. And some of the stuff that he did back then would have legitimately gotten them thrown off TV if it was today. Yeah. Right up there, I dare you to throw me off the air.
And also, like the most infamous match you ever had, Terry Funk, Sabu, barbed wire death match.
Yeah.
The one where it ripped his bicep off?
Yep.
Yeah, that one.
And he duct taped it back in place to keep going.
Yes. And then there was one where he used crazy glue to stitch himself back up. And that actually led to a medical breakthrough.
And many, many, many wrestlers use this after seeing that.
Even today. Because anytime you see a cut sealed up in WWE, it's because of Sabu, in a way.
We've made jokes about that. There's jokes about that all the time at indie shows. Who needs Band-Aids? You just need some peroxide and a tube of super glue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I mean, if you don't mind scars, and most wrestlers don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yes. You said medical breakthrough, Sapboy?
Yes. I actually just mentioned it. It's because of the crazy glue. Scientists were able to figure out the specific thing that in crazy glue that is sterile and is able to, keep cut sealed, and they've been able to use that in, desperate situations.
Okay.
Like it's a matter of life and death and they need their blank sealed up right now. Crazy glue.
Gotcha.
Or ingredients in crazy glue were able to do that.
Yes. Yeah, believe it or not, that is absolutely true. Now, there is a bit of controversy.
Yes.
Going on about what happened at the retirement match. Okay. Now.
Okay.
There are rumors, again, unconfirmed, right, Statboy? This is not
confirmed. The situation about what he did is not, but it's more of a whether or not it contributed to his death is.
Right. There are rumors that Sabu was in no shape to wrestle, and that Joey Janela and Brett Lauderdale gave Sabu kratom. Or is it kratom or kratom?
It's kratom or kratom. I forget which, but...
Which is an herbal medicine that advocates maintain has a variety of uses, including LPE withdrawal from opioids, but that critics warn hasn't been researched or regulated enough sale for use. Okay.
Right.
Janela's description of Sabu after taking kratom is one of the things he later said was mostly hyperbole, but that's become a focal point of the conversation in the wake of Sabu's death. RVD went after Dutch Mantell, who basically criticized GCW and Lauderdale for allowing that to happen. This is what he said. This is what RVD. Dutch, you know nothing about kratom. It helps so many people. As my regular listeners know, I'm an advocate for it. It says in there, Sabu got some kratom so he can make it through the match. The way Joey puts it, he said he was on another fucking planet. I don't like that he put that. I really doubt that's true, but I've had people say that about me. In fact, I'm going to administer some kratom. Van Tam soon says he took more than the recommended dosage and asked viewers to note that it had little or no effect on his behavior and demeanor for the rest of the episode. Joey is getting a bunch of heat. GCW is getting a bunch of heat. People are saying, I can't believe I supported them. They killed Sabu. First of all, they didn't give him the kratom. It was his own people. For sure, Sabu had some kratom. He eats it every day. I usually eat it every day. It's good for blocking pain, sleeping, and anxiety. It's a plant that comes from the coffee plant family. They dry the leaves, grind them into a powder, and you can put the powder in a capsule, a drink, gummies, or eat the powder. It tastes horrible. A lot of my friends have been able to quit taking opiates and take kratom. A lot of followers have told me and thanked me for talking about kratom because they've done the same thing. Can you get addicted to kratom? You can get addicted to fucking chocolate. Well, yeah. If it's good.
I was going to say.
If you're a person that's going to get addicted to stuff, then stay away from everything. The answer to that is, sure, it's possible. Can you take too much? Sure. Now, here's the thing about Sabu. Sabu was 60, or 61, depending.
Or 62.
But his bump card was about 150.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm not going to say that that contributed to him. But look, we can name a bunch of wrestlers who could potentially die young due to the bump card being ripped and torn to shreds. Okay. People like Darby Allin, Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy, the list can go on. Kevin Owens, right? Mm-hmm. Wishing it on him. But I'm sorry?
I said to a point. But yeah, the Hardys in particular, I still don't understand how Jeff Hardy is alive and how Matt Hardy can still walk.
Right.
Kevin's done some crazy stuff, but nothing on the level that we're talking about when it comes to guys like the Hardys and Sabu. Mm-hmm. No, Sabu was, Sabu should have died several times.
And damn near did several times.
Yeah. So.
He was a person who lived life on the edge. He truly did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And. You know, there were tributes everywhere, but what I believe is that you have to see, and also Sabu was not everybody's taste. Not mine,
no.
Even, really. Okay.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, I never liked his stuff because all his stuff was garbage. He never, quote-unquote, wrestled, did he?
No.
No.
He was, for me, it was good. He was good in small doses. It's not something I would not watch. I wouldn't like to watch him every single week. But, if he happens to show up, yeah, I'll stick around. I want to see what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Another
one. Ian Rotten is another one of those extreme wrestlers.
Oh, big time.
And
big time.
Used to hit women with unprotected chair shots.
And then, just to get back at everybody, he had a shitty ring. Oh, wait.
Yes, he did. Okay. I am just incredibly... I mean, I'm sad that he's gone. But just... He's like that... You put it to you this way. You remember those papers in science class when you lit it up as phosphorus paper that shone a bright light for a very short amount of time and then just went away?
Mm-hmm.
That was him.
Now, in your Merry Wrestling Misadventures, Jason, did you ever get to work with him?
No, never did. Nope.
Okay.
Nope, never did.
Yep. Okay, did you ever get to meet him?
Nope. I would remember that. Okay.
All right.
Because Sabu was a very unique cat.
Oh, very.
Yeah.
But, you can say that. But, and like I said, he will be missed. And he, as I said, without Sabu, you would not have all this extreme stuff going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Statboy, have you ever had a chance to run into him?
No, I haven't.
Just curious. Okay.
The closest I ever got to him was in Dayton back in 2006.
Okay. Then I'll tell you my Sabu story.
Go for it.
Okay. I went to a house show in, I think this was the Huntington show. It was in West Virginia. I do know that. We were in the middle of no, it wasn't that one. It was Wheeling. This was Wheeling because this was the SmackDown where Paul Heyman was starting the arrangements to get the ECW brand back off the ground. So a bunch of the ECW guys were there. Sabu showed up. He already had his headgear on, and everybody managed to talk him into coming over to take pictures. So I got I do have a picture with Sabu. And I got home that night and I posted it right away on a wrestling message board. The very first comment was, "You just ruined Sabu for me," because he may have been wearing the headdress, but he was wearing a golf shirt and khaki shorts.
Nice.
Nice.
But he recognized me when I did see him here and there. Like I said, I saw him at one of the Fulton shows in Chillicothe. Him and RVD had been over there a couple of times. But, you know, there's also, I hate to say it, but without Sabu, will we have Botchamania?
Not really, yes. Considering that Sabu was the patron saint.
Just saying.
So, after Backlash, okay.
Yes. The dust settled and smoke cleared.
Yes. CM Punk pissed, of course. And, of course, Seth Rollins basically said, "CM Punk, cry me a river."
Like, real class!
Okay.
Yep.
And Seth... Punk said Rollins will never become champion as long as I'm on 2 feet. All right, fine. Then, of course, McAfee shows up late. And then, of course, Penta defeats Chad Gable. Okay?
Yes.
With a Mexican destroyer. American May defeated War Raiders with help from New Day. Now, Jey Uso had a little face-off with Gunther, and Gunther says, "You know what? I'm getting my rematch. Whoever wins between you and Logan Paul," right?
Yeah.
"On June 9th is in Phoenix, will, on Saturday night's main event, will face me." So we're getting Gunther Jey Uso 2 for free on Raw.
Yep.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
And then, of course, then we also get the setup for, that was last week. And of course, the Seth, Sami Uso, Braun Breaker triangle also went into effect. And I believe in the mess match of the night, AJ Styles defeated Finn Balor. Amazing match. Okay.
Would you expect anything less from these two?
Yes. Now, Becky's promo. Very interesting. She's like, "All right, you think I'm selfish? I am. You think I bury the talent? I do." So is she embracing Becky Hogan?
It sounds like it, but that's not going to do her any favors.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's going to turn into change the channel heat for her.
Yes.
Okay.
I get what she's going for. She's saying, "I do this because I am on a completely different level than everybody else. I do this effortlessly. People got to learn to keep up with me. Okay. And she's right to a point. I mean, she is very, very good at what she does.
Yep.
But going out there and just completely saying my shit doesn't stink, and maybe it doesn't. But no, this is not the good heat. This does not bring good heat.
Mm-hmm. Nope, not at all. And of course, we had the main event of Julia and Roxanne Perez losing to Rhea and Io Sky. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Considering now, that was Julia's, you know, some Raw debut, it was okay.
Well, more about Julia in a minute. But, yes. But Rhea and, you know, set up Io. I still think we're in... Why does it still feel like a holding pattern because of Saturday Night's main event next week?
Pretty much.
And Money in the Bank, because we also had... Because we started on SmackDown. We didn't have any Money in the Bank qualifiers on Raw, but we did on SmackDown, which we'll get to in a minute. Okay? Right. So, NXT Battleground is also on the same weekend. It's actually... Is it the same time? Yes, as Double or Nothing.
Ooh.
Wow.
Counter-programming. Fun.
Well, we're going to get to that in a minute.
I'm just double-checking when Double or Nothing is.
However, Saturday night's main event is essentially free.
Yes. Yeah. Double or Nothing will be on May
25th, 2025. Oof.
Yes. Same time. Same exact time, actually.
That's going to hurt him.
I don't know who gets it worse, AEW or NXT.
I think AEW is...
AEW will
When was the last time we had a dual wrestling pay-per-view on the same night?
It's been a minute.
But the NXT has been setting up some really interesting stuff because Battleground is absolutely fucking stacked. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have four matches so far. Okay? We have Stacks against Tony in a singles match. You know, the grudge, that's a legit grudge match. Okay?
Right.
Obafemi versus Miles Bourne, who won the Battle Royal the week before, and they're playing into his physical challenge. Did you see this?
Yes.
I did not.
I did.
Because Miles Bourne, I believe, is also dating Stephanie Vaquer, I believe.
I think that's right, right, but they did make mention that Miles is partially deaf.
Right. And the only partially deaf wrestler to be employed by WWE.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not the only physically impaired person that was on wrestling this week.
No. No, we're going to get to that in a minute.
Yes.
Okay. We've got Stephanie Vaquer versus Jordynne Grace for the NXT Women's Championship. And Joe Hendry versus Trick Williams for the TNA World Championship. Okay, this is my fucking pet peeve about working relationships.
Yes.
The fucking trigger. Somebody's got to win the other brand's belt.
Yeah. Enough with the pussyfooting.
They but, have to.
Yeah. To be fair, though, it's... Which way? Because WWE, granted, this was under Vince. Vince would never have his talent win a belt from a quote unquote inferior brand. Mm-hmm. And under Triple H, you know, which way would he go with that? The same.
Yeah.
This is what makes it hard. I had a similar discussion with Bear the other night. Jason, I know you're old enough to remember Battle of the Network Stars.
I am, very much so, yes.
So am I.
Okay. Well, unrelated trivia, Joe Tessitore was actually one of the hosts for the 2017 reboot.
Yes.
But the original stuff...
was in the 70s.
Yeah.
70s,
yeah, the original stuff was
in at least one iteration in the early 90s.
Yeah. Now, since we have way too many networks, it'd be really, really hard to do today. And given the way things are structured now, it's almost like having different wrestling leagues doing a Forbidden Door style show.
Yes.
Who hosts it? And if they host it, do they get to win? You know, who wins what? And how?
Or do they leave? Do they...
Right. That's my point. The original Battle of the Network Stars was an ABC exclusive, mainly because it was tied in with Wide World of Sports.
Yes.
Today, there are so many networks that are hosting so many different types of sports. There'd be arguments about it for 10 years before we even saw it. And by then, there'd be another 50 networks, and you have to start all over again.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So now here's the interesting thing, because I actually have the Wikipedia statistics about this. And I'm sorry, folks. This is very interesting, okay? Oh, the Battle of the Network Stars, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
First one was won by ABC.
Mm-hmm.
Second was won by NBC. Third, ABC. Fourth, CBS. Fifth, NBC. Sixth, CBS. Seventh, NBC. Eighth, ABC. Ninth, so it goes back and forth. There was no rigging.
Yeah, so it was legitimate.
So, I'm just saying, for better ratings, though, I still think they'll rig it a little bit now. But that's something this is why I don't appear on other sports shows, ladies and gentlemen.
You do
periodically, because I love talking about the booking. Okay.
No,
but we're getting off
topic here.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, someone's got to pull the trigger, either NXT or TNA.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, Trick Williams holding the TNA World Championship would be fucking awesome.
Yes.
But they're not going to do it. Because they have no balls. Okay? They just don't.
And if they do, holy shit.
I'd love to see it. I would love to see it. So.
Yeah.
AEW right now. They are heading towards Double or Nothing next weekend. Talk about the wrestler that the other physically challenged wrestler.
Yes. Last week on the program, we actually mentioned him showing up in AEW in Detroit. Because, after all, it's where Zach Gowen is from.
Correct. And, by the way, our last show was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, because when we get through, we get everything from last week, would anybody be interested in a guardrail segment?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, because there was no show because you were at SmackDown.
Yes. So do we want, let's finish what we were doing here, and then we can get to that.
Okay.
No, or were we?
So, no, you were talking about Zach Gowen. Oh, Zach Gowen. So we have five matches, and then there's a sixth. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be at a smaller arena. Hangman Adam Page is fighting Will Ospreay in the men's Owen final, and the winner will receive a world championship shot at All In. Who would you put there? Ospreay versus Moxley or Page versus Moxley?
I think AEW should stick to its roots and give us Hangman Page versus Mox. Nothing against Ospreay.
I agree. Jamie Hayter versus Mercedes, I don't lose.
You want to talk about, you know, female Hogan. Here we go.
Yes. She will get a shot at Timeless Toni Storm at All In and take the belt.
And then get hurt again.
Yep.
Yes.
Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, you did. Good. Hurt Syndicate versus the Sons of Texas for this World Tag Team Championship. Timeless Toni Storm versus Mina Shirakawa for the Women's World Championship. FTR and Dax Hartwood versus Daniel Garcia and Nigel McGuinness. And Anarchy in the Arena is allegedly going to be Swerve Strickland, Kenny Omega, Samoa Joe, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Willow Nightingale.
Yo.
Interesting.
The Bucks, Moxley, Gabe Kidd, and Marina Shafir. The first two women ever to be in an Anarchy in the Arena match.
Mm-hmm.
And also main event, a AEW pay-per-view. Believe it or not. So
Tony's actually starting to use more figures in his toy box?
No, just for this. Well, remember, this is... You're thinking too much. So, with that...
Mm-hmm.
You also, so then we move to SmackDown this, actually before we get to SmackDown this week, let's get to SmackDown last week. You were there. Yes. Talk to us about it.
Well, this was very random, very out of nowhere, and very, very last minute. Turns out that I was asked if I was interested in going to SmackDown in Dayton. I said, I am. It's just a matter of, you know, it's just a matter of how this is going to work out. And they said, I can get you tickets. I said, they got to be really good tickets. Second row and outside.
Nice.
When are you picking me up?
Yeah,
when are you picking
there.
Me up? Huh? You did
I
see
saw
me.
You. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, we got there, you know, we got there relatively early. The gal I was attending with has a couple of physical limitations. So we went in through... handicapped entrance, and we actually got to sneak through part of backstage, so I got to see a lot of the technical stuff. No wrestlers. Got to our seats. The announcers came out shortly after. I shook Barrett's hand. He remembered me. Because we go all the way back to Second Saturday.
Nice.
At OVW. So we had a dark match of Jimmy Uso over Shinsuke Nakamura. We did not have a post-show dark match, but that's fine.
No Roman, no Cody.
No Roman, no Cody, no Seth, no Finn.
Yeah.
But we did have LA Knight Damian Priest. And him. Yeah, there we go. Got some beautiful corner post shots of him. That's right. Priest and LA Knight versus Jacob and Solo. Yeah. Where, of course, things kind of fell apart because Priest and Knight can't get along because they both want the better win, if you will, and they get into it afterwards. What other good stuff happened? Mm-hmm. A lot of the commercial stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Was essentially they would do some audience participation stuff. In Sign of the Night, of course. Sign of the Night, WWE Universe Dance Party, for lack of a better term. They wanted to see you dancing in your seat. And then the DX crotch chop cam.
Mm-hmm.
Which happened while Miz was out there. When him and Carmelo were there for Aleister Black. They went through the camp thing. They got Miz. Huh?
He is now the new host of American Gladiators.
Yep.
Yes, he is. And somebody get Rico Constantino on the phone. Anyway. Yeah, they got Miz to do the crotch chop thing, and as it was winding down, he got on the microphone. He's like, "You guys all suck. That was the worst crotch chop fest I've ever seen. Yada, yada, yada." As I yelled, "Dude, you're from Parma."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, the match with Black and Carmelo was fun, especially with the ending. As Aleister pinned Mello, Miz hit the ring and got a face full of foot.
Mm-hmm.
Which unfortunately I didn't get a very good picture of. The big deal was, of course, John Cena coming out to his usual
minimalist.
Yes. And essentially just ripping Orton one side and down the other. During this promo, a beer bottle floated into the ring.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That was not scripted. Yeah.
Right. And the guy got ejected, didn't he?
He did.
Yes.
First of all, dumbass. I don't know if it was a fan cam or if it was just a particular angle that you actually see him throw it.
It was a fan cam.
Okay. But WWE is like the NFL, and then they have cameras every fucking where.
Yeah.
Just because you're sitting spit side doesn't mean you're not going to be seen. So yeah, he got his ass booted out and Cena took it in stride. So I'm very satisfied with that.
Mm-hmm.
What else? No wrestlers in my lap, alas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some doofus tried to keep blocking you off the TV.
The gentleman next to me was also a worker, and he had a sign that he was trying to get on camera. I got on camera enough. I'm good. I've done it to other people. It was my turn.
Okay.
I had an excellent time. I picked up the roster book, which was way out of date.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I heard that from you. It was still kind of dated back to, like, what, SummerSlam of last year or something?
Something like that. Baron Corbin was still in it.
Bishop Dyer, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, and by the way.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I was listening to Busted Open this week, and this just sounded like clickbait bullshit. Dave LeGrecker saying we're back at like WWE 2008, 2009 right now. And I'm like, no.
No. Absolutely not.
Just absolute crap. But did you have a good time, though?
I still had an excellent time. I mean, I enjoyed the fact that we had, we were getting the wrestlers' attention at times during the Garza's match.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the camera on Escobar for a lot of it. Well, in the midst of the chaos, the people in front of me were yelling at him in Spanish, so he was yelling back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what all they were saying, but at some point Escobar got frustrated and took his shirt off. Why does this man wear a suit all the time? This man is no longer allowed to wear a suit.
Mm-hmm.
My. Excuse me.
Did Jacob Fatu get close to you?
Thankfully, no. Solo was got closer to me than Jacob did.
Mm-hmm.
Solo was crouched over by the announce table, catching his breath, going, "What the hell just happened?"
Right. Now, speaking of that, so there is a, we've got the name generator, actually.
Yep.
But this one actually makes sense.
Oh, you're talking about about the new guy under Solo.
Yes. Correct. Our main guy from Guam.
Yes. Jeff Cobb, now thrown into the name generator, but it comes out as J.C. Mateo.
J.C. for Jeff Cobb.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And Mateo to be... Well, he's Hawaiian. I don't know if he's Samoan.
He was from Guam, because he represented Guam in the 2004 Olympics.
Well, he was anybody born in Hawaii.
Live research, gentlemen, please.
He trained for the Guam. Yes.
But
he's actually from Guam, so yes, he could be. He is a Pacific. He is AAPI.
Yes.
That's the new thing, right? AAPI?
Yep. Asian American and, Pacific Islander.
Well, and I find it interesting that they're using Mateo.
Yes, the character's name from Hobbs and Shaw. Right?
Oh.
Also chosen because Mateo was Rosie's Samoan name.
Aha.
Oh ho.
Yeah. Because trust me, when that clicked with me, when I saw Hobbs and Shaw, I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That is very awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to know if our dear tribal chief might have had a hand in this naming system. He got to pull the big, the big slot machine arm on the name generator.
Oh, yeah. But, we got a couple of Money in the Bank qualifiers where Alexa Bliss used the Sister Abigail to defeat Mee Chin and Chelsea Green. Oh, surprise.
None surprise. None surprise.
Alexa, go to HDMI 1. Sorry. I used her name and, you know.
Trust me, I have a friend. I had friends who had to change Alexa's name to computer or something a little more generic because it was even responding to the television.
Yep.
Yes, exactly.
Dayton show, she got a huge hometown pop.
Yep.
That exactly. was not. Yeah, that wasn't piped in.
Hmm. So, Fraxium defeated Gargano and Ciampa, which is. And then, of course, Motor City Machine Guns attack them too. They attack Ciampa as well. So
that was a fantastic match.
So, and then, of course, R-Truth was like, you know, Wade interviewed R-Truth. He goes, Truth says, he's like, life is tough. The constant pressure of friends, family, bills, regardless of what's going on in your world, you can depend on John Cena. John says, never give up. Truth says, you didn't know when it would come, but he says, your time is now. Hustle, loyalty, and respect are not just words. They're a beacon of light. John said, did it, and so can you. Wade says, you're fucking nuts. He just attacked him. He goes, you won that match on his own. The man at the press conference was not John Cena. The John he knows wouldn't talk about ruining wrestling. Put a friend through a table? He doesn't want to fight John, but if he has to knock him back into his senses, he'll do it. Truth says it'll be happening at Saturday night's main event. And Wade wishes him good luck. And then, of course, Drew and Priest, who, by the way, was honored with a street, honored with a membership of the Bronx Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Priest and McIntyre are going to do it in a steel cage next Saturday.
I'm there. God, I wish I could be there.
Black, yeah, it wins against Carmelo Hayes through a Miz disqualification.
And Miz gets kicked in the face again.
Yay! Yeah.
Yes. Keep talking about SmackDown while I have to take care of something. Yeah.
Okay.
Be right back.
Okay. I'll just throw this in real quick. The Street Profits versus Fraxium from the previous week.
Yes.
Was a fantastic match. Now, what the home audience didn't get to see, as the match was getting ready, they cut to commercial, right? And you hear Montez complaining. Because essentially he looked at all of us and says, you see my ribs? You see Dawkins' knee? Do you really think we could do this? I said, yeah, this is a rib. Mm-hmm. And so they bitched and moaned and complained through the commercial break, which was very entertaining. Fraxium versus DIY, holy crap. We got that for free? Was it a spot fest? Yes. There was a couple of miscues, but that is the price of A, high flying, and B, precision high flying when you're going that fast. So yes, Matthew's going to have a field day with that match. I still thought it was very good. Boogity, 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 boogity. And yes, Sapboy, the Nutter Center is still awesome. I still like it.
I miss being there, but then again, I haven't been in there in well over a decade.
Not much has changed, really.
Yeah. Not a surprise, that.
Not much has changed. The only thing I don't like is the fact that it's one continuous staircase from the upper levels to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of steps.
Yeah.
But I can't. I will not complain. I had a wonderful time. The guy next to me was also a worker. We connected on Facebook. I need to get in touch with him and see if he might be able to swing something for me. Or, you know, at least compare notes, or if you know somebody else with a podcast that I might show up on.
Mm-hmm.
No offense to ours. Just spreading the word. What else happened that night? No. Like I said, I hadn't been to a WWE show in over a year. And I really felt like I needed it, and it felt really good to run away from work. But neither here nor there. Okay, so something else with SmackDown. Now that Alexa looks like she's going to be back full time, do you think they're going to go ahead
daughter is
with
what?
the?
Two, three? Huh?
Excuse me?
Her daughter, her Alexa's daughter is what? Two, three?
Two.
Yeah, two at
Okay.
most.
But with her being back full time, I know Bo Dallas is still hurt, but can she just bring the just take the Wyatt six with her? I'm kind of hoping she's going to drop them on Charlotte for getting blown off like that this week.
No, I think they're holding off on that one until they can. You know?
Yeah.
That's and then of course Solo wins the Money in the Bank qualifier, which I heard that was a banger of a match.
It was. And we were expecting a lot more bang on Solo from Fatu. Especially after that promo. Come on, where Solo's trying to get him to say, I love you, Solo.
He ain't
Jake will
gonna
have
do that.
nothing
He's
of
gonna
it.
go. He's gonna go. Not I mean. I'm gonna fuck you up. That's what he's gonna do.
Yeah. Let's keep it 100. I don't love you no more, Solo. So, yes, that breakup is going to be epic. Yes,
Yes, and then of course, JC Mateo beats LA Knight. That was not a surprise, really.
yeah.
No.
And of course, Shinsuke Nakamura.
He's once again threatening everybody.
Yes, exactly. And he goes Money in the Bank because it's going to be LA Knight, Aleister Black, and Shinsuke in a Money in the Bank qualifier. Charlotte Flair, Zelina Vega, and Julia? Really?
I'm okay with
Oh,
this.
I swear to God, I hope she... Okay, first of all, Zelina isn't gonna win. She's got the US title. It
Yeah.
better be
Yeah.
fucking Julia. If it's Charlotte Flair, I'm done. I'm
Yeah.
seriously fucking done.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, she doesn't need it. She shouldn't, Doesn't matter. I want her to disappear for a few more years so that her next match is a retirement match.
Then, of course, Tiffany retained with a little shenanigans from Naya. So, oh, and by the way, there is actually going to be another car or another pay-per-view on TNA called TNA Border Brawl. Okay. And I'm pulling this up. It's also going to be on May 25th, but at least they're gonna not going to be on they're not going to be on it's going to be 5 o'clock, okay?
Right.
It's a free card on a company called Zonify, okay?
All right.
And it's a co-produced show between with TNA Wrestling. So you're gonna get, oh, and it's actually a point system, Canada versus USA, okay?
Where are they
So,
holding it again?
what?
Where is it being held?
The Niagara Falls Convention Center in Canada. And it's a point
Blame
system.
Canada.
Standard. Yeah. So you got Eric Young versus Matt Hardy, Jody Threat versus Tessa Blanchard, Santino Marella versus Nick Nemeth,
Yay.
Channing Decker and Jesse Bieber versus Moose and JDC. That's Johnny Dango Curtis, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
That absolutely is.
Fandango,
And
Johnny Curtis. Anyway.
then of course the Northern Armory, which is versus Eddie Edwards and Brian Myers with Alicia Edwards. Okay. Courtney Rush versus Victoria Crawford. Champagne Singh versus Tommy Dreamer in a hardcore match. William Trudeau versus Sammy fucking Callahan.
Woot!
And I believe there's also going to be a flag match in there, too. Okay. you fuckers.
What?
Oh, by the way, the flag match is Nick Nemeth and Santino Marella.
So an American flag and an Italian flag? That's amusing.
No. No. But by the way, the president of Zone TV has invited both Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney and that guy to the show just to be a dick. I love that. That's awesome.
The Canadian Prime Minister should say that they have to charge an extra tariff for Mr. Orange to show up.
Yes.
No, it says, the level of political sparring in the USA-Canada trade and tariff talks has been a spectacle, to say the least. Having our two leaders settle this at the Border Brawl wrestling event may be the best and most entertaining way to get the deals done. That's cute. It is cute. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's cute.
That's cute, that's funny, and I would find money if those two actually showed up.
Right. So the four matches, gone, but just to settle up on all the WWE stuff. Jey Uso versus Logan Paul for the World Heavyweight Championship. CM Punk and Sami Zayn versus Seth and Braun, and that should be the main.
Yeah.
I agree.
John Cena and R-Truth for the title. And Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre in a steel cage. That's going on first, my guess. We'll see. Then, of course, the next one. And by the way, did you know that this is the 40th anniversary week of Saturday Night's Main Event?
Not a surprise. Actually kind of did.
May 10th out of Uniondale, Long Island. The main event was Hogan versus Orton for the WWF World Championship.
Note that it wasn't the full-on main event, but it was a main event.
Yes. And we must send our prayers, sort of end this on a sort of a sad note.
Yep.
We must send our prayers and good thoughts to good old J.R. Jim Ross.
Yes.
Was diagnosed with colon cancer this week. Mm-hmm. He has had enough health issues over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And colon cancer's no fun.
No.
Cancer in general sucks, but yeah.
I mean, not to be funny, but not to, you know, he is tougher than a $2 steak, legitimately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But again, I have to ask, is Jim Ross really one of the last old-time announcers?
Absolutely.
If not the last?
Yeah.
Because there's only one more, really, that I could think of.
Tony?
Cornette.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Tony Schiavone? Yeah.
Yep.
That's right. Yes. Him and Tony Schiavone are the last two of that era, really. So, this weekend is the finals of LFG. That's where taped at Madison Square Garden. Okay. And I need to find out. Yes. Oh, and of course, Liv Morgan, I believe, is back in the United States after filming her.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The role in the Bad Lieutenant series, right?
Yes. So, we're just hoping that, and they will be the newest members of NXT. Now, I have a question for you.
Hmm?
Remember how all the tough enough people were shit on once they won?
Yeah.
For the most part? Do you think these people will be?
There's always a chance.
It depends on the wrestlers, because to be honest, the Tough Enough crew, it was a completely different time.
Mm-hmm.
You still had a lot of old guard who were going to stand there and say, you just went and played around on a reality show and you're going to take my job.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that the WWE locker room has evolved enough to the point where they can say, we're going to give you a shot. Hopefully we can all make money from it.
Yes, and everyone who has competed is still under a WWE contract.
Right, because nobody really loses.
Right, because it's Tyra Mae Steele versus Zena Sterling and Jasper Troy versus Shiloh Hill. I think Shiloh Hill is going to be your male superstar. My guess.
Okay.
But, again, we will see this coming week. And then season 2 is already filming, by the way.
Oh. That was quick.
And I am seriously hoping that, I am seriously hoping we see Izzy in a WWE ring anytime, you know, soon.
Sooner than later, yes.
You know, she is still fighting in the indies. But, I mean, man, is that... Oh, by the way, also, gotta also give Bayley credit. I don't know if you saw the picture this week. Okay?
Mm-mm.
Okay?
I have not.
Bayley posted a picture and said, these contracts are forever. Okay? She took out several of the released superstars to a dinner. And there is a pic, you know. I love that. It's just, she is just absolutely... She's absolutely the best when it comes to that. Just hold on one second. I actually have to find the tweet for you.
Yes, please.
Because it's just... Oh, yeah, here it is. These contracts are forever. Take a look at this. It's a nice, nice bill that she paid. Take a look. It's in the chat room. I'm just putting it in there. If you go to hashtag NAWC.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yes. Yes.
Mm.
That's cool.
That is extremely cool.
So she took Dakota Kai, Shotzi, Cora Jade, now Elena Black, who, by the way, is what's her face's next opponent? Izzy's. He's finding Cora
Jade. Very cool.
So, yeah. Pretty insane, if you ask. So, I think it's time to wrap stuff up. I think it's time to sell some soap. And, Josh, why don't you start us off with what you got?
All right. Knickknacks, it'll come eventually. This week on It Was a Thing on TV, let's see. Yeah. There we are. Right, my brain just clicked for a second. This week on It Was a Thing on TV, Pilot Month continues with The Saint. You might wonder, wait a minute, wasn't that show on for nearly a decade on ITV and NBC? Yes, yes it was. This was a 1987 pilot that didn't go that far. It was on CBS Summer Playhouse. People liked it, but CBS decided to say, nah, we're not going to do any of these shows that we're airing, even though we really should have. And they just tossed into a waste bin of history. The second, an early 1980s game show pilots, in it's three in this case, called Star Wars, starring Nipsey Russell. It was a decent enough game, and it could have made it to the CBS schedule, but they decided, nah, we're going to put in something about a re-release of a game show from the 70s. Except for this time, we're going to have animated whammies. Of course, I'm talking about Press Your Luck.
Yes.
And then today, on the 40th anniversary, more or less, the 1985 NBA Draft Lottery. The first lottery ever. And it is still widely rumored that there might have been some chicanery going on so the Knicks could get Patrick Ewing. Whether or not that's true is up to you. But you can find all of that and so much more on itwasathenontv.com. Pilot Month will continue.
Jason? And of course, Stat Boy, if you're around on Tuesday night, we are going to talk about the schedule.
Ah, I'll be asleep by the time you guys start, because you'd start about 2 hours after I go to bed.
That's all right. We'll be talking the schedule, and Nikki, if you're home, you get home anytime around after 10 o'clock?
It depends.
We're going to be talking the schedule, and a rumored big happening having to do with the seeding of the playoffs.
Playoffs?
Did you hear about
it? Playoffs? We haven't even done our preseason.
And well, no, I haven't heard. This is.
I have not either.
What is it about the seeding this time around?
Well, hold on. Could just give me 1 second.
Oh, okay.
This is the rumor that they were talking about in the NFL. Okay, hold on. Mm-hmm. Because the Detroit Lions actually put this up. Okay. And this is at the players at the owners meeting. Okay. This was done yesterday on Sports Illustrated. Okay. This was. Detroit's proposal would be the four division champions and three wild cards would make the playoffs. The seven teams would be seeded strictly by record rather than assigning the top seeds to the division's winner with the wild cards to follow. If teams have the same record, being a division champion would be the first, and then regardless of head-to-head. The unofficial... Okay.
I don't necessarily agree with that because I know that's how they do it in the NBA. And honestly, it feels like you're screwing over the division winners.
Yes.
So I don't like it. Not much.
All right. And we will definitely talk about this. Over on WLTI, this coming week will be our 13th season finale and going into season 14.
Wow.
The week after on the podcast. We're also coming up on 500 episodes. We will be talking about the winner on Survivor. The winner, we talked about the winner on Amazing Race this past week. We'll be talking about Drag Race All-Stars, America's Got Talents coming soon, and of course, We Kill the Toilet. So what else over to you, Nikki? Your artists, including our good friend Jamie Cloutier, who's maybe going to come here sometime in the near future.
I'm working on it. I tried to get her the week before, but she was way, way wiped. And she's going to be a mess anyways. We're coming up on Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
which is pretty much the kickoff of summer. So she's going to be run over by that. Then maybe a slight uptick for, you know, she'll have a little bump before then with Father's Day. It's just going to, you know, she's a mess. Mm-hmm. I've talked to her briefly in the past few days, and she's just so wiped. Mm-hmm. She needs a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I could use a vacation too. Oh, wait, well, actually, I can't even put it that way. What just happened there? Anyway, excuse me. My tablet's being stupid. Okay.
Okay.
Obligatory shout out to Oniwambashu. Definitely look up her artwork. Let's see if she's got anything good currently. Lots of political stuff. But check out her stuff on DeviantArt. It is safe for work. She does have Tumblr. She has commissioned through Card, CARRD. She's a shield doofus like I am. So just, you know, check out her work. And her commissions are not cheap, but she is so, so worth it. I've never seen bad art from her. One of my recent additions, Nobarko Gaitan. Oh, interesting. Okay. New pictures on his account include, a new commission for Seth Rollins' Shield era. WWE versus Marvel. Oh, this looks hilarious. Juggernaut getting attacked by Penta and Asuka. Cody Rhodes going up against, what was her name? The female shapeshifter. Oh, I can't remember her name right now. That and a really shiny, shiny picture of Seth with Braun Breaker and Uncle Paul. We have an enigmatic artist, EKM, whose work reminds me so much of Synapse. She is also an absolute freak. This gal is also a freak for Finn Balor and the Demon. She's put up a couple of pictures. EKM had reposted one of Penta and the Demon interacting. I am cursed to draw this picture. So, back to my list. Dozer draws at Little Dozer Baby. If you're looking something that's going, some wholesome artwork, that's probably your best bet. He's a little expensive too, but again, like I said on our last show, his artwork is currently the wallpaper on my tablet. James Diotto, digital illustrator, wrestling and video games nerd. So check his stuff out. His commissions, I believe, are open right now. Yes, DM him on Twitter. I still say Twitter because X is the dead joke name for this fooky site. Who else? Well, now that Alistair's back, I'm going to throw it out there to Black Mass Design. This guy likes to do... this guy usually does custom posters. And I'm going back through his site right now to see if... Nope. He hasn't gotten around to doing a new one for Alistair now that he's back in the Fed. But does have some current stuff with Karrion Kross, the whole new Seth working with Uncle Paul. Oh, yeah. and a family values picture showing Fatu with the U.S. title, Jay with the world title, and then another Samoan who I don't recognize with like three different belts. Here we go. Zilla. Zilla Fatu.
Ah.
So, any artist that you find that you want to commission artwork for, keep them in the loop. Be very clear what you want. Pay well. Tip generously. Post it on any social media platform you are active on. But wherever you do that, please credit the artist. I accidentally did not credit an artist. Tapeworm with two R's did this wonderful bloodstained shot of Dean Ambrose and Jon Moxley sharing a drink after bloodying each other up in a match. I forgot to credit him. I had to go back and quote it to get the credit on there. Beware of artists offering to draw you something. These are AI hoaxes. I got burned once. Ain't gonna get burned again. I don't have too much else, though, because I'm right here. So for Stat Boy Josh Henniger, for Jason Block, wherever you went. Jay, you still here?
That sounds like a no.
Okay, well.
Clear? Oh, there he is.
Almost.
Is that clear?
No.
Almost.
Okay.
I could do the Rock thing and say, don't tell me that we're fucking clear. We're going to keep going. I'm not doing that.
Don't do that to us. All right, fine.
So for Jason Block, for Stat Boy Josh Henniger, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do tune in next week as we start preparing for Saturday night's main event, or probably just talk about it right after it airs.